experience as believers, we can experience a time in our lives and go through times and long times in our lives in which that we may not appreciate the liberty that we personally have been given in Christ Jesus. And the personal spiritual liberty that we have as God's people in the Lord Jesus Christ is something for us ever to remember and not to forget. It's something for us ever to be not only mindful of in the sense of the liberty that we already possess, but also the promise of the liberty that we yet look forward to. And so I want to think a little bit about that today as we look to the scripture and the hope, as we think about the hope of glorious liberty. Romans chapter 8, verse number 20, let's begin here. It says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope," key words there, "because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And I think about this today. I want to think about the subject of the hope of glorious liberty. He talks about this hope, that we are in this hope. We've been subjected to vanity in this hope. And then he says, but one of these days we're going to be delivered from that vanity, in the sense, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creature here, when we look at this passage in Romans chapter 8, the creature here is the believer, the new creation, the one who's a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. And so he says, he talks about the creature. And it's kind of interesting language because it's metaphoric language. It's language that's talking about the new creation versus the physical creation. And the new creation being like the physical creation, that in the sense in which that spiritual life was breathed into us, a life that would produce life eternal for each one of us. And we are in this world, though, subjected by God's providence to vanity, or the system of a fallen world. The vanity he speaks of here in verse number 20, he says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly." We don't like it. It isn't something that we would desire to be subject to. We aren't desirous to be subject to all the worthlessness and emptiness of this world, the meaninglessness of this world. But we're subjected to it nonetheless by God, by reason of him, that's the Lord God, by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. He's put us in this position that we might have hope. That, in other words, he's put us in here, subjected us to this system in hope, given to us hope for the future. So we have a glorious liberty, not only that we have already been given from the standpoint of being liberated from our sins and liberated from the bondage that was upon us of being bound to sin, and being going down the course of this world like a fish going downstream and never wanting to change and never having any desire to change. And yet, like Paul, like Saul of Tarsus, God turned us around. God changed our heart and changed our ways. And it causes us now to be going the other direction. We're kind of going upstream. And that going upstream is kind of, it's futile sometimes. It's difficult at times. It's hard at times. It's that vanity that he's talking about here. That's the vanity of this world. The world's just going down this empty course. They're just on their way to hell. They're on their way to destruction. And they don't seem to see it. They don't understand it. They don't perceive it. And they just want to continue going. And this world system is something that just gobbles people up. It captures people and takes them down the wrong course. And it's a course of vanity. It's a course of emptiness. It's a course where there's no goodness. There's no reality, there's no truth, there's no fulfillment in it whatsoever. It produces a kind of a joy that goes along with all the rest of the world, but it's not a real joy, not a lasting joy. It's nothing that's eternal. And so the Lord's changed us, and but he still keeps us in this same world. He keeps us in this stream that's running against us all the time. He keeps us, put us in here, and why does he do that? Well, he says, for the reason of the hope, a certain hope, meaning we look into the future. I mean, he wants us to be a people who are looking into the future. One thing that the scripture is really clear on in the New Testament over and over again is the coming of the Lord. The Old Testament looked forward to the coming, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, mainly to this first coming. Well, we look forward to his second coming, the promise that we have of the coming of the Lord. And so we're, as the people of God, looking forward. We're looking out into the future, and we're given... But the world makes us not be satisfied with the present time, but rather causes us, and God's allowed that, causing us to look out into the future for the glorious liberty, as he says in verse 21, that's awaiting us. And so, first of all, I want to look at four different things today, and these four things about this liberty that we have, this glorious liberty, the liberty of the believer. You know, what is it that's caused our liberty, and what is the experience of it, and what does it look like as far as the spiritual liberty that we have as the children of God? I want to think about that a little bit. First thing we'll look at is the missionary of this liberty. The missionary of this liberty. Now, that may not be common thinking and common thought, but there was a person who was sent. A missionary is someone who's sent forth for a mission, for a cause. There was a person that was sent forth for a cause, and it was the cause of our liberty, and it was Jesus Christ. And we'll think about that for a moment. The missionary, then the message of liberty. A message of liberty was given to us. Finally, there came a day when God spoke to our hearts. There came a day when the Lord spoke to our hearts by the Holy Spirit and caused us to be alive and alert and awakened to the truthfulness of our sin, the truthfulness of our condition before God, and the truthfulness of what Jesus Christ did for us. So we're awakened by the Spirit of God to that, in that sense. That's a message. There was a message of liberty that came to us, we'll think about. And then the mercy of liberty is the third thing I want to think about. And that is, once we're liberated, since we didn't liberate ourselves, but rather the Lord liberated us, then what does that tell us about our own ways in this liberty? We are in a state of being completely different from the rest of the world. And we are in a state in which we as believers are all different from the rest of the world, and we're encouraging one another, but oh, listen, there are many times when we get swept into the current. There are many times when we slip and we fall back into the current a little bit, and we're not perfect, and we're not what we ought to be as the Lord's people. So we want to think about the mercy of this liberty, and then finally we want to look at the more glorious stage of this liberty. The more glorious stage of this liberty. So missionary of this liberty, the message of this liberty, the mercy of this liberty, and the more glorious stage of this liberty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to think upon it today. And Lord, as we're so grateful and make us more grateful for the country in which that we live, we're grateful, Lord, for the fact that you providentially have given us this great land, where that we have founding fathers who observed and who concerned themselves with God, who considered you in the decisions that they made. And Lord, we know they were not perfect. We know there were so many things which we say, hey, they're just not right. They were not right in some ways. And yet, Lord, you so wonderfully and providentially led that that we as children of God, as Christians and saints all through the time of this history, Lord, of the United States, that we've enjoyed the freedom, we've enjoyed the opportunity to worship you and in truth and in spirit, and we've enjoyed the freedom that we have as your people to just claim the name of Christ and to be those who, Lord, are grateful for what we've done, and we can worship you freely. And we just praise you for that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we even have of being a testimony to others, that you might help us, Lord, to live our lives in such a way that it'll be pleasing unto you, and to be a testimony and have the right words, the words that are fitly spoken, Lord, in a testimony that's right and a life that's lived right before you. And we just pray for your will to be done in each of our lives. And just lead us today as we're made, help us to be made by your word more grateful for the liberty that we have, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so first of all, we said, I want to talk about the missionary. Okay, why are we calling him a missionary? Well, look with me, first of all, to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And I want to think just a moment. This is a passage that Jesus is bringing up in Luke chapter 4. He goes into the synagogue. He's just been, at this occasion, he has just been gone through the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted of Satan. Okay, so he's gone through the temptations of Satan during this time. And we find now in chapter 4 and verse number 18, Luke 4, 18, we find him in verse 16. He's gone to Nazareth now. He returned to Galilee, and he's gone to Nazareth now, where he was brought up. And verse 16 says, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So he stands up, he stands up, and it is customary that those in leadership role would stand up and would read. And they delivered to him a portion of the scriptures. It says, there was delivered, verse 17, unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he looks it up, finding the place, and that particular place is Isaiah chapter 61, at the beginning of the chapter. And he starts reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's reading from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now he quotes this passage, then he closes the book. Now the interesting thing, and many people have pointed this out, and it's an important point, the interesting thing is, as he begins to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears, verse 21. He stopped in that verse in Isaiah in a very specific place in the middle of a verse for the reason, and it seems pretty obvious, for the reason that the portion that he was fulfilling at this time had to do with his first coming. And then it continues in that same verse to talk about the judgment that was to come. And that wasn't something that he's come to do. He didn't come the first time to judge the world. He's coming the second time to judge the world in righteousness. But he points this out. And he talks here about the liberty involved in this experience. In other words, there's a liberating that is taking place here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the liberator. He's the emancipator, the one that was sent for the purpose of liberating us from the clutches of the devil, from the clutches of the world, from the clutches of our own nature, from our own flesh. And so he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Those that did not have, he is going to give them the richest thing that there is, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to declare to them the truth of their eternal salvation through him. And so Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3, you could go back and you could read it, but it basically says the same thing here, and it's telling us that he's prophesying, Isaiah is prophesying of this time when the Messiah was going to come, and he is going to be that sent one that's sent to deliver sinners from their sins. That's what he's sent to do. Is what Isaiah later would say in Isaiah chapter 53. He'd talk about the fact that he's the one that was sent to be that sacrifice for sin, and that the stripes that were put upon him would mean they would be relieved from us. The punishment that was put upon him would mean that we would not be punished, and that there would be a substitution that God would provide through his son, Jesus Christ, that an atonement would be made where we would be right with God through what Jesus Christ would do. And so there's this missionary of liberty. You know, our liberty didn't come at no cost. Our liberty came at the cost of God sending his own son into this world. Our liberty came at the cost of God subjecting his own son to the cross and to being blamed for, unjustly blamed and being punished for something he had never done. He greatly suffered there in the stead of us who have sinned. He suffered there in the place. So he was humiliated for us and for our deliverance. And he went to the cross and he bore our sins and he suffered there on the cross. But he was not defeated at the cross as all his enemies would like to have defeated him, but rather he's the missionary to provide liberty. And he did it. He accomplished that mission that the Lord had sent him, that his Father had sent him to accomplish. And so the missionary of liberty, don't forget there's a great cost, there's a great price to the liberty that we have, to being a child of God, to being a saved person, to knowing that we're going home to be with the Lord one of these days. There's a great price to that, to being a person who is no longer of this world but been delivered from this world and no longer a person that just lives in sin but wants to see the Lord work in our lives, and he wants to see the Lord renovate us and strengthen us and give us grace and help us and improve us. The missionary of liberty has come. He went to the cross. He bore our sins on the cross that we might be delivered. And through his blood, we can be forgiven of all our sin. Second point, the message of liberty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. And we read there, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Now what's he talking about here? Well, he just got through talking about the fact that all during the Old Testament times, that there was a veil that was put over the Holy of Holies before the entrance into the Holy of Holies, and the veil even upon the face of the one that would go in, the high priest. And the scripture says, hey, that veil even remains today upon the hearts of the Jews of the time. He said, those that are unsaved, the unsaved Jews, he begins to describe, he said, hey, there's a sense in which that veil, that was a type and a picture, and that veil is still upon the hearts of the unsaved. They can't look into the Holy of Holies. They can't enter the Holy of Holies. They are not, their hearts are blind. They can't see, can't understand, can't perceive these things. And the scripture says there, unto this day, even unto this day, verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. You read the Old Testament scriptures, and the veil is still upon their heart. They couldn't understand it. Nevertheless, when Israel shall turn to the Lord, when the Jews will turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, okay, no veil, as in a glass, it says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he says, hey, we're not like that. We've been delivered from that veil that caused us to be blind and caused us not to understand the things of God, not to understand the things of Christ, the gospel. He says, hey, but one of these days for the Jews, that veil will be taken away. Well, it's already been taken away from us. There's a sense in which that we've been given the message of liberty has been given to us. We have that message. We understand what Christ Jesus did for us. We know what he did, why he bore what he did, and what it means to us. In Romans chapter 8, back to the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, concerning this message of liberty being delivered to us, the Holy Spirit is the one who brought us that message. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom from the darkness that we were under. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, the scripture says there in Romans 8 and verse 1, therefore now no condemnation, no death sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned to die. To them which are in Christ Jesus, we've been delivered, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In verse 15, he goes on to say, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So he talks about that bondage that we were under again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit bore witness, verse 16, with our spirit that we're the children of God. And as he did so, he brought to us that message. The Spirit of God worked within us that message of liberty. No longer in bondage, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So we're looking at the missionary of liberty. We looked at the message of liberty that came to us by the Holy Spirit, that is the message of the cross. And then the mercy of liberty. Now, we're in this state of liberty now. As Americans, we're in this state of liberty where that we have this liberty. But what do we do with it? What do we do with it? As a child of God, we've been given a state of liberty. We've been delivered from our sins. We're in a condition in which that whatever we do, the Lord has promised us. And I don't mean by this in a wrong sense. We don't want to continue in sin. But as we do fail, and he says, you can say that you've not sinned, but you're lying to yourself if you do. We all sin. We continue to sin. And we have the one that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse us. He'll continue to bless us. And we have this forgiveness of sin. And there's that mercy of the Lord that is upon us constantly. So what do we do with it? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Okay, stand fast in that liberty. Realize that I am a child of God and I've been liberated from the course of this world, so I'm not supposed to be just flowing with the stream of this world. I'm supposed to be resisting. I'm supposed to be one who knows that God leads me and not the world. God leads me and not the course of things natural. God leads me and not just my feelings. As much as I want certain things to happen, doesn't mean that that's what God's will is. It's hard for me to accept all the time. I know it's for us all. But the fact of the matter is God's leading me and God's leading us. And so we need to stand fast in that personal liberty that God's given us. But stand fast and stand fast mercifully to those around us. Because why am I in that liberty as a child of God, knowing that one of these days I'm going to be with the Lord. Why am I there? It's because of the mercy of God upon my life. He's been merciful. Stand fast mercifully in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 16. 1 Peter 2:16. He talks about, what do you do with the liberty that you've been given? 1 Peter 2 and verse 16 says, as free, so here's the child of God, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So he says, be careful how you use your liberty. Don't just abuse everybody else because you've been freed, you've been delivered. We've been delivered doesn't mean that we go to war with the unbelievers. We've been delivered, it doesn't mean that we show no respect to unbelievers. We've been delivered, we need to be merciful. He's been merciful to us, we need to be merciful too. In 1 Corinthians 8, 9, he talks about the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, again, here's the liberty that we've been given. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. He's talking about other believers that are weaker. And he says, don't let your liberty become a stumbling block to those that are weak. So what's he saying? He's saying in general that we need to be caring and merciful. The word of God is the law of liberty for us. It's freeing us continually and progressively by the mercy of God. But we as the saints of God are to be those who are caring and merciful toward others because that's the way the Lord has been toward us. So I look at the liberty that I've been given, and that doesn't mean I go destroy everybody who doesn't agree with me, but rather defend those who are desirous to have the same mercy upon their lives. Be something of an example to others that either have that mercy of God and that liberty from the Lord Jesus Christ, or who might have it and who might be seeking it by the goodness and the grace of God. Be merciful with that liberty that the Lord has given us. The liberty the Lord has given us is not to be something that causes us to be hermits. It's not to be something that causes us to despise everybody else that doesn't have it. It's to be that which causes us to be merciful toward those, to pity those, to have compassion on those as our Savior most certainly would have us to have. So the mission of liberty, the message of liberty, the mercy of liberty, and then finally thinking about the subject as we're thinking about abounding in hope, the hope of glorious liberty. We have a hope. We look forward to something that is wonderful for us. And look back to our text in Romans 8 just for a moment. And just regroup and look at this verse again, these two verses. He says in verse 20, Romans 8, 20, for the creature, the saint of God, new creature in Christ Jesus, was made subject to vanity. Okay, so we're subjected to the vanity of this world, all the emptiness and the vain things of this world, the path that this world takes that is not going to be fruitful. It says, not willingly, we don't like it, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. He allows us to go through all the trials of this life, all the difficulties of this life, all of the troubles from this world, as he has subjected us to this in hope. He's not only allowed us to experience these bad things, but he's given us hope. And we have that hope, and he's subjected us to these things in hope. We're not without hope. We're people who have hope in the Lord. And the hope is something that we look forward to. And he talks about that a little bit later in this text. But verse 21 says, because the creature, the child of God himself, itself, also shall be delivered. So he says, also, because there's another deliverance that's coming. There's another liberation that's coming. There's another wonderful, a glorious liberty that he speaks of. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We're going to be delivered from the whole thing, from the vanity itself, from the bondage of corruption that is that takes possession of this whole world, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We are looking forward. Bad experiences and bad times make us long for better future things. Bad experiences, terrible experiences, make you long for something in the future. A terrible experience of being thirsty and almost dying of thirst, you're looking forward to the time that surely at some point in time we're going to have, I'm going to be able to drink something. I'm very thirsty. Well, this world makes us thirsty for the things of God. We read it in the Psalms this morning, how that as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We long for something more. We look forward to the Lord and to his coming when the trials of this life bear heavy upon us, and we look at the news and we look at things of this world and we think about what all is going on. Those things bear heavy upon us, and as the children of God, we realize and we know with hope in all this that we look forward to the time that the Lord's going to come. It's going to end. All of this stuff is going to be gone. All this vanity is going to be gone. All this emptiness that gets our attention, that causes us stress and causes us to be all down, it's all going to be gone one of these days. And we as the children of God are going to be gloriously liberated from all of this. The Lord's going to come back, and with the voice of a trumpet, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to rise, and we're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to be with him forever. If we're dead, we're going to rise from the dead, from the grave. If we're still alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds with the Lord, and we're ever going to be with the Lord. We look forward to the time when we're going to be with him forever, and we got far better things to think about, even in this life now, because we've got that hope of that glorious liberty that yet awaits us. You say, I've already been liberated in the sense of being delivered from my sins and being given a promise of eternal life, of everlasting life, forever and ever and ever, that the Lord's given me, and that the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and he's with me, and he's removed the veil, and I know Christ, and I trust him, and I know that where I'm going, I know I'm headed to that day of meeting my Savior one of these days. And looking forward to it, longing for that day. And longing for the day in which that this old, dark, desolate, empty, vain world is no longer having an effect upon me. It isn't beating upon me all the time like when I'm with the stream going the opposite direction that I'm going. It isn't beating upon me anymore. He has subjected us to this vain world, but he subjected us to this world in hope, and that hope lifts us up. It lifts up our spirits, even out of the doldrums of this world and all of what's there. He lifts us up because we know Christ. We know the one that can take care of us. We know the one who's in charge of this whole world and the whole system. We know the one who knows what's best for us. And even in this awful system, he's working everything out to our good. And we look forward to it. And we look forward to the time when we're going to delight to see our Savior. We're going to delight in the glorious liberty that yet awaits us as his people. You go on down in this text, and verse 21 said, the creature is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. And he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We've got the down payment, the first fruits, if you will, of our eternal salvation. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Here we are. We're out in the stream going back, going the wrong direction than the rest of the world, or different than the rest of the world. We groan within ourselves. And what are we doing? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our body hadn't been redeemed. We're waiting for that time when we're going to be with Christ. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? He says, but if we hope for that which we see not, which is the very future that we have, the eternal future with our Lord, then do we with patience wait for it. And so we have that hope of the glorious liberty of the children of God. We look forward to the time that we'll be fully liberated from this world. And there's a liberation that's already taken place in each of our hearts. But there's another liberty, another liberation, another emancipation that awaits us. And that is at the coming of the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, the opportunity to open your word and to think upon it today, and just pray that you might speak to our hearts through it. We pray for those that are weak and for those who have troubles right now and going through difficulty, for your grace and mercy to be upon them. We pray, Lord, for health for those that we love. We pray for direction and we pray for provision to those that we love, Lord, as they seek to do your will and as you're leading them. And we just pray for your continued blessings on our lives, that you'd lift our spirits, Lord, up. And Lord, just give us a good time this weekend, this week, as we think upon the liberty and the freedoms that we do enjoy in this country. And we just thank you, Lord, for the land that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to show forth our praise to you for what great things you've done for us. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you're doing it all. In Jesus' name, amen.